So we're on Daf Samach Hei Amid Aleph. And we're up to Rabbi Chanina, which is halfway through the Amud. And it says the following. Rabbi Chanina biyoma de rosach lo mitzale. If he was in a bad mood, he would not daven. In other words, anger is not the proper mindset that's appropriate for tefillah. And we spoke before about someone who's drunk and he had too much wine, that he's not in a proper mindset for tefillah. Now we have another example in Rabbi Chanina of someone who is excluded from tefillah. Omar, and he would declare, Batsar, in a state of tsar, when a person is angry about something, Al Yore, Ksiv, the Torah says, that in that state he should not issue a halachic verdict. He's ein daitom yusheves olav. And to the same extent that ein daitom yusheves olav, he cannot concentrate for ruling in halacha, he cannot concentrate for davening. Mar ukva biyoma deshusa. Now this has to do with metaphysics that we're not familiar with, but at least in that time, back in the Talmudic days, they were sensitive to a kind of suddenly wind that was a very strong wind. And there's a Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Beis that says that a wind that came from the south, if it was a very strong, stormy wind, it could break walls, it could rip trees out. Basically, this is the strongest wind that you get. It's like a tornado wind. You know, if you read today what's going on in different parts of the world, and even in Florida, and so forth. Lo avi nafik lebeit dina, he wouldn't go out to sit in the court, because again, it was a day in which the weather conditions were so harsh that he couldn't have Yeshiva Das, he couldn't concentrate, you know, the winds were just blowing and howling in all directions. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hilchasa, Bayat, Silusa, Kiyoma de Istina. A person has to have a clarity of mind when he is, Silusa means clarity, when he is issuing some sort of halachic verdict. And it should be like the day in which the northern wind blows, and the northern wind is very calm, and therefore doesn't cause a person to be in a state of anxiety, and it doesn't undermine his yishuv hadas. In the note here, he points out a Gemara in Yevamos that during the 40 years in the Midbar, the reason why circumcision was not implemented is because they didn't have this Ruach Tzfonis, this northern wind. Aval biyoma deshusa, amru shom she'ein malin ve'ein makizim dam. So you remember we spoke about yoma deshusa when there's a southern wind, and that's a dangerous kind of situation, and therefore they abstained from circumcision. So that actually, according to one opinion, took place for 40 years in the Midbar. That's why when Yoshua crossed the Yarden, that's when they did that massive milah. Amar Abaye was wont to quote his adoptive mother and the teachings that he learned from her. E Amrali Aim, if my mother would say to me, Karev Kutcha, bring me the kutach. Kutach was a kind of a yogurt dip that had little pieces of sort of like spoiled bread in it and so forth. It was very sour. And she would ask me to do this on her behalf. And perhaps she would ask him also to prepare this kutach. Lo tnai. I could not study my Torah, even though it was a simple task, relatively simple, with yeshiva das, like I could on other days. In other words, since he had this sense of responsibility on his shoulders, which his mother mandated him to take care of something, it was an avodah kala, it was a relatively simple matter, but already he wasn't able to study b'yishuva das. Now, he quotes the Ben Ish Chai, who says that Abaye didn't mean to say that he stopped learning, but that he had to work very hard to overcome this distraction, this responsibility that was on his shoulders. And that's what the Gemara says, that a person should be memis atzma b'ohola shel Torah. In any event, a person, says Abaye, has to work very hard to make sure that his mind is clear. Omar Rava, ikratzton kina, if I was bitten by a little flea, lo tnai, I wasn't able to learn b'yishuva das like I did on other days. So it seems like both Abaye and Rava were very, very sensitive, you know, very sort of soft personalities. Marbere dravina avdile ima shiva mani l'shiva yomi. His mother prepared 7 different sets of clothing for the 7 different days, so that every day he wore a new set of clothing. I don't know if it's brand new, but at least it was laundered, and therefore there were no bugs on the clothing, because if you keep changing your clothing, then that prevents these bugs from coming. Amar Rav Yehuda lo ibro leila el l'shinsa. God created nights for the purpose of shinsa, of sleeping. Amar Rav Yishim ben Lakish, on the other hand, he says lo ibro sara el l'girsa. The nights were created for Torah study. And Rashi adds that this is Ace Shilton Hayoreach. And the reason why it's called Sierra, which means night, also means moon, is because that's where the moon shines. And according to Reish Lakish, the purpose of night is to study Torah. But literally, if you translate the words of Rav Shimon Lakish, he says that the moon was not created except for the purpose of studying Torah, like you get light from the moon. Now, the Marsha says, and he claims he saw this in Rashi, we don't know where this Rashi is, that the machlokas here about the purpose of the moon or the creation of night is only during the summer months. Because during the summer, the nights become very short and the days are much longer. And that led Rabbi Yehuda to his conclusion that we've got to take advantage of these short nights and get our sleep. But during the winter months, where the night is much longer and the day is shorter, he would agree that these longer nights should be dedicated to Torah study. That's the Chiddushi of the Marsha. And I think basically the Marsha is saying that, you know, you could make harmony and peace out of Rav Yehuda on the one hand and Reish Lakish on the other about the purpose of night. If you're talking about the short nights, you better take advantage of those short nights during the summer months to catch up on your sleep. But if you're talking about the long winter nights, then Reish Lakish is correct that you should use those nights to whatever extent you possibly can for the sake of Torah study. Imagine if in the summer the day ends at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So what are you going to, you know, you're going to say, well, it's pitch black out now at 4 o'clock, and that's it. I'm going to close my Gemaras, and I'm not going to study. Amri Leila Reb Zera, they told Reb Zera, Mechadadon Shmaitach, your Divrei Torah are very sharp. So they gave him a kind of a compliment about his Torah. Amar Lahu, so he responded, Diyamame Ninhu. In other words, the night is for sleeping, and the daytime is when we have clarity of thought, and we dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah. So if my Torah that I'm transmitting is clear and sharp, it's because it's daytime Torah. And daytime Torah is very clear and very sharp. And at nighttime, you'll be kovea, you'll set up a certain interval of time for Torah, because the Torah, the pasuk says in Yeshua, be gisa bo yom v'layla, you have to be kovea time at night as well. But nevertheless, my main Torah, says Reb Zera, I studied and I accomplished during the daytime hours. Not to exclude nighttime learning, but nighttime learning is a kvius of Laila l'limud, but people get tired at night and they have to sleep, and the best Torah that they could study with the clearest mindset is during the day. Amalei brate derav chizda lerav chizda. So Rav Chizda's daughter turns to her father and says the following. It seems that Rav Chizda was a big masmid, and he studied Torah night and day, and every night he never wasted a night for Torah. Lo boy mar menas purta. It sounds like you're up the whole night. Do you not have to sleep at least purta, at least a minimum amount? Amalei. So Rav Chizda responded to his daughter, Amalei. Hashta osu yomi d'arichei v'katinei v'nenum tuva. When the days get longer in the summertime, and the nights, just one second, let me just think. Yomim aruchim, right, yomi d'arichei Uktane. Oh, I see. He says, what is Yome Aruche Uktani? This is a metaphor for death. In other words, after I'm buried, after my death, I'll have plenty of time to sleep. Our days will be very long, and at the same time, very short. They'll be long for sleep, and they'll be short for Torah, Maisim Tovim. Short meaning basically non-existent. So now I have the opportunity to sleep less and learn more. But after I die, I cannot learn, so I'll sleep. So basically he's saying there's plenty of time to sleep after death. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak Anan, Poli Diyamamanan, our study of Torah is during the day. We are like daytime workers that were hired for labor during the day. And the main primary learning that we get done has to be by day. And again, as we said before, you have to also learn a little bit at night, so he would be Kovea, set up an interval of time at night for the study of Torah at night. But his main learning was during the day. Rav Achbar Yaakov Yosef. Yosef means to borrow. So he would borrow from his time for learning a day upara, and he would pay up at night. And the translation here, based on Rashi, is the following: Hayelo itim kvuos bechol yom lishnos bahem kach v'kach prokim liyom. So he had a certain set amount of Torah that he would have to accomplish during the course of the day. When days came by and it was impossible for him, he had to go out and bring in some bread to eat. So he was Torah b'mizonosav during the daylight hours. Then whatever he didn't finish and accomplish during the day, he would make it up. He would make it up at night. Omar Rabbi Lazar, Abom in Aderech Al Yispalel Shlosha Yom. When a person goes on a long trip, and the trip is called Torah Haderech, you can imagine like, he's riding his mule or, his camel for days upon days, and he gets home. He's not in a state of clarity of mind, of Daitom Yusheves Olav, that's appropriate, facilitates tefillah. He should wait 3 full days until he gets his wits about him in order to daven. I mean, this is very hard to believe that it would take you 3 days to get back into things. Maybe he's talking about jet lag. I know for me it takes me weeks to get over the jet lag. Shednemar, the Pasuk says in Ezra, Vavkabtseim el anahar haba El Ava V'nachla Shom Yomim Shlosha V'avinam Ba'am U'bakonim B'nei Levi L'matasi Shom. So he couldn't understand the people until after 3 days. So let's just read the English translation of this pasuk, and we're on the second part of Samachei Amir Aleph. He says the following: I gathered them to the river which comes to Ahava. Okay. And we rested there 3 days, and then I scrutinized the nation. I don't know. That the word Avina means I scrutinized, meaning I understood the people. So Ezra says that he was unable to understand the people for the first 3 days after his journey. And prayer, which also requires intense concentration, cannot be performed properly for 3 days following the end of the journey. Avud Shmuel ki asa bi'orcho, when the father of Shmuel came from the road, from the trip, Lo matzli tlosi yom, he didn't pray for 3 days. Shmuel lo matzli bebeise de isbe shikra. Shmuel would not pray in a house that had beer. The smell of beer would intoxicate him. Rav Papa lo matzli bebeise de isbe harsana. Harsana is a kind of a fried fish. And he couldn't pray in the house that had fried fish because the smell was so powerful that he couldn't concentrate. Omer Rav Chanina kola mispate b'yeno. His heart is in a very glad, he's in an ecstatic state because of the wine that he drank. His mispate. Mispata means Kashatov Libo Biyayin Mefatim Oso Bieza Dover Lefais over Mispata Misratza. So it's a good time to pacify him, to appease him. And Yeshbo Midas Kono, so the Gemara now is talking about the added benefits of drinking wine. The Torah has a very unique approach, halacha, to wine. On the one hand, wine is very dangerous, and we saw it in Tanakh over and over again, but on the other hand, wine has certain beautiful advantages and features to it. Number one, he's in a very good jovial mood, and now people can be mefayesim, be misratza. And also, he has das kono. He's in a certain sense imitating God. Now, what does it mean to imitate God? Shenemar, Vayorach Hashem Esreach Anichoach. This is, if you recall, when God decides that he will never curse the people again because of man, because man, from his very birth, has a Yetzer Hara, an evil inclination. So God takes an oath, a covenant, that he will not destroy the entire earth as he did during the Mabul. And this is because Vayorech Esreach Anichoach, because he had the fragrance. Now again, these are human descriptions of the divine, but they mean to convey a certain message to us, that Nisratzev and Nispais HaKadosh Baruch Hu Im Olamo, right, he's now reconciled with the earth, Mipnei Reach Anichoach Shebo Min HaKarbonos. And we said before that smell is similar to shesia. You can get drunk from smelling something. That's why Shmuel didn't daven in a place where there was beer, because the smell of beer would intoxicate him. So here also, this smell is kind of like drinking wine. It's intoxicating. And as a result of drinking wine, there's a misratzen, there's this ratzus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misratza because of the Reach HaNichoach. Om Rav Chiyah Kolam Yashev B'Yeno. If a person could drink wine and still have Yishev Adas, Yeshbo Midas Shivim Zkenim, then he is sort of a disciple of the 70 Zkenim, which were chosen by Moshe the Midbar, and Eldad Umedad that prophesied, they weren't included in the number 70 because they were busy in the Machna prophesizing that Moshe is going to die and Yoshua is going to take over and take the people into the land. But the 70 Zkenim, the elders that were chosen, were greater than Eldad Umedad. Now, if they were greater than Eldad Umedad, didn't they know, therefore, the same prophecy that Eldad Umedad knew, and that is that Moshe would die? And the answer is, yes, they probably knew this, because they were even greater prophets, but nevertheless, they don't reveal it. And this means that certain secrets are not meant to be revealed. And the word for secret is sod. So Yayin Nitan B'Shivim Osios. In other words, the gematria of Yayin is 10, 10, and 50 is 70. Visod is Samach Vav is 66 plus 4 is 70. Is Nitan B'Shivim Osios. And we're going to derive from this that Nichnas Yayin Yotza Sod. That when you drink wine, you will be able to reveal secrets, so to speak. Velo yotza sodo. In other words, the Shivim Zkenim were greater than Eldad Umedad. They knew surely this nevuah that Moshe was going to die, but they kept it secret. They guarded the secret. Now, this was classified information. And Yayin is just the opposite. Yayin has the impact on a person that he starts revealing secrets that he shouldn't be revealing. He starts blabbing. But someone who's misyashiv bedaito, that even though he drinks wine, nevertheless he's able to discipline himself and keep his wits about him. He's daito mishevis olav, and therefore he's not going to reveal any secrets that shouldn't, you know, drunken people say things that shouldn't be said. He is a spitting image of the Shivim Zkenim, because they too, with their depth of thought, kept it a secret, a secret. Amar Rabbi Chanin, Lo Nivra Yayin El Nachem Avelim, the purpose of wine, the creation of wine, is for consoling the bereaved. And if you're familiar with this, certain communities, especially the Yemenite community, during the course of Shiva of Avelis, they bring wine to the Avel. That's called Nicham Avel. What else? Wine has another purpose. L'shalem sochar l'rishoy. So that those who like to get drunk, who are evildoers, they'll be paid up in this world, and all the reward for whatever minimum merits they have will be already paid up here in this world. Shenemar, and Rav Chanin quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Tnu Shechar li Oved v'yayin l'mari nefesh. The yayin and the shechar were designated for Ovdim, Ovdim with an Aleph. And who are these Ovdim? These are the Rishayim, the evildoers, Ovdim Berisham, that whatever they do with their evil, it's always destructive. And the Pasuk says, Yayin Lemari Nefesh. So Shechar Li Oved means give beer, intoxicating beverages to the Rishayim. To the Mari Nefesh, which includes Tzadikim, who are suffering from anguish and so forth and so on, give them wine. And in this case, they're suffering because they lost one of their close relatives, and we will give them Yayin to drink as part of Nichum Avelim. He adds a point here in the footnote that the reason why Rabbi Chanin is trying to figure out why God created wine is because wine has caused so much evil and immorality and even murder in the world that God shouldn't have created wine. It's such a destructive force. Therefore, Rabbi Chanin looks to try to find some sort of a guidepost as to why God actually decided to create wine. What was the divine purpose in wine? Amar Rabbi Chanin Bar Pop, I'm not sure if that's the same person. Kol she'ein yayin nishvach besoch beso kemayim eno bechlal bracha. Person has not received a full blessing from Hashem, even if maybe he's wealthy, unless he received an allowance, almost an endless amount of wine. That it's nishpach besok beso kemayim. In other words, not that they actually spill it, but it would not harm them financially if they, because they had so much, they had such an abundance of volume of wine. Shenemar. How do we see that the ultimate bracha is when you have wine? So I'll read the first part of the pasuk. It says Vavaditim es Hashem Elokeichem, and then it says Uberech es lachmecha ves meimecha. And God will bless those who serve Him with bread and water. So we have now a hekesh, an equation here between bread, lechem, and mayim. Ma lechem shenikach bekesem maaser sheni, af mayim shenikach bekesem maaser sheni. Lechem. Now, here we have a problem. When we get to maaser sheni, an equation analogy between mayim and lechem is problematic. If you take it literally, that Maya means H2O. Because there are two substances which are not Nikach Bekesef Maiser Sheni, and one of them is Mayim, the other is Melach. But these are substances that do not give you a sense of energy and satiation. And Lechem would be your classic case of Nikach Bemaiser Sheni, which means I'm mafrish on the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. I'm mafrish 1/10 for Maaser Sheni, 1/10 of my produce. I can't take all this produce up to Shalayim, so what I do is I do a pidyon. and I take the money up to Yerushalayim. Now, what am I allowed to buy with that money when I get to Yerushalayim? Only food. And not only that, it's got to be food that's mazin. Mazin means it adds calories, you know, to your body. You feel a sense of satiation. So now the pasuk is equating lechem and mayim. That's a problem, because lechem is always included in kesef ma'aser sheni, but mayim is not. So what's the meaning of this equation, this analogy between lechem and mayim? So the answer is mayim. What is this mayim? Yayin. It's a reference to wine, because wine is nikach because of ma'aser sheni, whereas mayim is not. Vika kari liyayin mayim. Nevertheless, even though it's wine, he calls it water. What's the purpose of the Torah calling wine water, just to confuse us? And the Gemara answers here on Daf Samachayim and Beis that e nishpach bebeso kemayim. If he has enough wine that he can afford to, you know, pour out the wine, so to speak, he's got such an abundance of wine, is ika bracha. Then what it says at the beginning of the pasuk, it says vavadetem Hashem alkechem ubeirach es lachmcha vesmeimecha. So that bracha will come to pass. Elo, but if on the other hand he's got only a limited volume of access to wine in his house, then lo. Then you cannot say that this bracha came to pass of Uberech Hashem es Meimecha, because Meimecha is a reference to wine. The Ramah writes in Orach Chaim Siman Reish Tzadi Vav that our Gemara here, and this statement here of Rabbi Chanin, is the source for our custom that during Avdolah we pour out a little bit of wine onto the ground. Why do we do such a thing? And the answer is because kol bayis, any house shelo nishpach bo yayin kemayim, that they didn't pour out the wine, is ein bo mishum simon bracha. It's not a blessed house. So as we're about to enter into the new week and we want to bless a blessed week, Uberech Hashem es meimecha, so what we do is we pour some of the wine out onto the ground. I don't remember seeing that. Did you ever see such a minhag that they pour the wine onto the ground? I remember.
I learned that when I do Avdalah, I should, when I'm pouring the wine or the grape juice into the cup, I should let it overflow into the plate.
I don't think that's what he's referring to here, as far as I know. Because there it's not going ala oretz, he wants it to go on the ground. Also, that's aloch, I think, of koshel bracha. Not just Avdolah, any koshel bracha. Even, let's say, Birkas Amazon. Also, you should pour it all the way up to the top, maybe it'll spill over a little bit. Maybe that has to do with kos mole, which is a din in koshel bracha. What I have seen is that after Avdolah, people will put their fingers into the excess wine that may have spilled and then put it in their pockets. Have you ever seen that?
On their eyes.
Yeah. Or on their eyes. Amar Aviloy, b'shlosha dvarim adam nika. If you want to shots up a person, you want to evaluate what kind of a person he is ethically, you have three barometers. One is koso, one is kiso, and one is kaso. So let's go through all three. Koso means, does he get drunk? If he gets drunk and ain't daitom yishevis olav, then you know that that he's not an ish hagun. You know, he's not. You want someone who, you know, he knows how to control his drinking, and he drinks just enough wine to get happy, but he still retains his Daito Yusheves Olav. Then he's a good guy. He's an Olam Hogman. Number two, Bekiso. And that means in his monetary dealings with other people, he's very honest. He's what we call Nose Venose in Bermuna. He doesn't try to deceive anyone. Ubekaso. He doesn't get angry. Amri lay others at a fourth. Af bisachako. Even when he laughs. You know, you can tell when a person laughs and what kind of jokes he laughs at. Whether he is a, you know, he's a serious person, but he likes to laugh. Or he's just a jokester. You know, some people, their schok is what you call schok shel holulus. That's a word that Shlomo Melch uses over and over again in his writings, especially in Mishlei. So these are the ways that you can evaluate a person. So, you know, it's really interesting because in a contemporary sense, in the shidduchim business, let's say you have a daughter to marry off, so you want to check out the potential groom. So find out if he drinks too much, and he loses it when he drinks. Yeah, today in contemporary life, it's a makas medina. A lot of the young people are drinking in excess. And number two, you want to know whether he's an honest person. I remember in my family, what didn't happen to me, but one of my siblings, you know, she went out with this fellow, and he wouldn't pay in those days. It's hard to believe it was a quarter in a machine to get a drink, you know, to put it. You know, if a person is so stingy, that's not a good marriage partner. That doesn't. And number three, if he gets angry and he shoots off the, you know, off the hip, you know, he goes off the, you know, he gets angry very easily. Or if he's just a jokester and there's no serious bone in his body, that's not good material for a shidduch. Omer Rav Yudom Rav, he says here, Maisa hayu v'shtei chatzero zu b'fni mizu. Okay, so now we return to Masechta Erevin after a long digression into Agadato. Mostly Agadato is about Torah. And we're going to talk now about Hotzah L'Chotzer, right? So let's say you have many homes that share one courtyard, and amongst those homeowners, there are Jews and non-Jews. Are you allowed to carry out into the Chotzer from your house? And now Rav Yehuda Marav wants to know, what happens in a case where there are two sets of chatzeros? There's an outer courtyard that leads you directly into the public domain, and then there's an inner courtyard. So the outer courtyard is called a chatzer hachitzona, and the inner courtyard is called hachatzer apnimis. Now, those members of homes that share a chatzah pnimis, in order to get access to the mavui, that alleyway that will take them to the Rishus HaRabim, they had to go through a chatzah chitzona, through an outer courtyard. Now, the case of Rav is that Yisrael v'nochri b'pnimis v'Yisrael b'chitzona. There's a Jewish family and a non-Jewish family that share the chatzah pnimis. However, the chatzah achitzona is owned and accessible exclusively to the Jew. Again, how the guy is going to get out through the chatzah achitzona if it's owned exclusively by the Israel, that's a question we have to answer. Okay, Bob Meisel Ifnei Rebbe V Osar. Ifnei Rabbi Chia Osar. In other words, you're not allowed to carry from the chitzona. Just one second. Ah. So there's a person that owns a house, a Jewish person that owns a house that borders on the outer courtyard. The inner courtyard is a serious problem because a guy shares the inner courtyard. So you're not going to be able to make an Eruv Chatzeres to allow the Jew on the inside courtyard to carry out into the courtyard because the guy is not interested in joining in the Eruv, unless you can get him to rent out the chotzer. But what about the status of the one single Jew having access to the chotzer chitzona? If we view the chotzer chitzona as a separate entity, so it's like a case of a Jew who has his own chotzer. He can certainly carry from his house to his chotzer. He doesn't need an Eruv. But if we view the two chatzeros as interconnected, because there's no way that you can get out to the mavui from the inner chatzer without going through the outer chatzer, so the outer chatzer now is no longer viewed as a separate entity on its own, but rather it's an extension of the inner chatzer. And since in the inner chatzer you needed an eruv, which means that the diras nochri Oseres, the fact that the non-Jew owns a piece of property that generates an Iser on the Israel to carry from his house into the Chotzer, is now the Chotzer Chitzona, insofar as we view it as one entity with the Chotzer Pnimis, you would not be allowed, the guy, the ownership of the house on the part of the non-Jew in the Chotzach HaPnimis generates an Iser in the Chotzach Chitzona. And that's the opinion of both Rebbe and Rabbi Meir. Wait a minute, did I get the names right? I'm sorry. Rebbe and Rabbi Chia. And the house owner on the Chitzona, no less than the house owner on the Pnimis, needs the guy to rent out his chotzer. And again, this is all based on the fact that the only way that you can get out of the chotzer Pnimis is through the chotzer Chitzona. That's the only access you have to the Mavu, or to the Shusarab. So therefore, it's as if these two chatzeros are like one chatzer. And the diras hanochri oseres al Yisrael. Now, why is this so? Why does the diras goy oseres al Yisrael, I'm talking about the Yisrael in the chitzona, is Yosef Rabba v'Rav Yosef v'Shili Pirka. They were at the end of their drasha. I think it means at the end of the drasha of Rav Yosef of Rav Sheshes. So it's Rav Sheshes is giving the drasha. Rava and Rav Yosef are participants in the drasha. And at the end of the drasha, Ka'amar, Yosef Rav Sheshes v'Ka'amar, he's sitting down and he makes the following statement regarding Rav that we saw before. Kiman Omer Rav l'shmaite ki Rabbi Meir. Rav is a reflection of the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that if a Jew and a non-Jew, and there's only one Jewish family, and the non-Jew share the same chatzer. So Rabbi Meir says that the diras nochri oseres es ha'otza lechatzer. Right? That's not like the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov was the one who said that you need two Jewish families. But we're going like Rabbi Meir, that even one Jewish family becomes Asur, and he can't carry out into the Chatzin. Now let's assume that Rav accepted Rabbi Meir. And the answer is that Rav holds that even though the Chatza Pnimis has only one Jewish family, then like Rabbi Meir, who says that one Jewish family is enough to generate an Iser of Hotzah min Abayis al Chatza, here too, you're not allowed to carry out into the Chatza. So far, we haven't seen any hityachsut, any addressing of the issue of the chitzona here. So far, the Gemara and Rav Sheshes is focusing on the chatza pnimis, and then the chatza pnimis is one Jewish family, one non-Jewish family, and therefore, unless the guy will be, agreeable to rent out his use of the chatza, then you're not allowed to carry from the bias into the chatz. Karkesh Rabba Reshe. When Rabba heard this statement of Rav Sheshes, so he starts shaking his head, nodding his head, as if to say that Rav Sheshes understood very well the logic of Rav, that Rav is based on Rabbi Meir. Amar Rav Yosef, Trei Gavri Rav Reker Abonon Litu by Milsa, could it be the two great scholars of the ilk of Rav Sheshes and Rabba could make such a mistake that Rav is based on the Shita of Rabbi Meir? It's impossible. Iki Rabbi Meir, if we're going to identify Rav with Rabbi Meir, Lomali Yisrael Bechitzona. What's the relevance here to the fact that there's a Chatzar Chitzona that only has one person living, one occupant, and that's a Jew? Forget about it. Even if there was no Jew in the picture, no Jew that was, that occupied a house in the Chatzar Chitzona, nevertheless, as far as the Jew who owns a house in the Chatzar Pnimis, he's not allowed to carry from his house into the Chatzar on Shabbos. So why then did Rav construct this entire sophisticated scenario in which there's a Jew in the Chatzar Chitzona? Forget about the Jew in the Chatzar Chitzona. If Rav is simply based on Rabbi Meir, let him tell us that as far as the Chatzar Pnimis is concerned, there's one Jew and one guy, and therefore the Jew is out in the cold. He cannot carry from his house into the Chatzar. Therefore, says Rav Yosef, from the fact that Rav had introduced a second Jew into the equation, namely the Jew that has a house in the Chitzona, it means that Rav accepted the view of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that the guy would not generate any Yisrael Tzon to the Chatzar unless there are two Jewish families that live together with the guy. And therefore, Rav says that there's no Heter Hotzah to the Chatzar Achitzona, because we're going to add the Jewish owner in the Pnimis to the Jewish owner in the Chitzona, you end up with two Jewish owners and one Goyish owner, and there's no heter of hotzah into the chatzah, whether it be the chatzah pnimis, chatzah chitzona, because the guy is sharing with two Jewish families according to Rabbi Lotzer ben Yaakov. And again, why does Rabbi Lotzer construct this as two Jewish families? Because there's a relationship between the chatzah pnimis and the chatzah chitzona in such a way that there's no way of getting out of the chatzah pnimis into the Mavli, into the Rishus HaRab, without passing through the Chatzer HaChitzon. V'chitem ha-maisa sh'oye kachoya, maybe you'll answer and push me off and say, well, Anafinami, Rav's statement was just reiterating Rabbi Meir, and there's no relevance to the fact that there's a Jew in the Chitzona, but that was the story. They're just telling you over the story as it were. He says, no, that's impossible. Because Haboy Minei Rav, they asked the question to Rav, Hapnimi Bimkomo Mahu, and Amalem Muta. So they asked Rav about the Jew who owns an apartment in the Pnimi, in the Chatz HaPnimis. And can he carry from his house into the Chatz HaPnimis? So you see that that this is Bedafka case of a Pnimis and a Chitzona. And Rav says mutter, even though there's a nachri imo b'chatzer, right? It must be that Rav holds like Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov, that a nachri cannot be oser and a chatzer unless there are two Jews living in the chatzer. So therefore, Rav allowed the pnimis to carry because there's only one Jew in the pnimis. Anyway, we see clearly that Rav, not like Rav Sheshes' interpretation, Rav held like Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry, Rav did not hold like Rav Sheshes' interpretation like Rabbi Meir, but rather, Adarabba, Rav held like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And therefore, he was matir to be motzi from the Chatz HaPnimis. He only prohibits hotza to the Chatzer HaChitzona. Okay, then, this is where we're going to stop for today. So let's just make a note of it. We're on Daf Samach Hei, Amid Beis. And we're up to the Ella Mat. So Mirz Hashem, we'll start tomorrow's shiur. I'll review, you know, the main points that we covered today, so that we can move on in the sugya of the pnimis and the chitzon. Okay then, so let me wish you a very good day.